This morning we are at Mark chapter 14, and we are starting at verse 53, and we're moving to verse 75. This is a lot of verses, as we're moving through Jesus' final week of ministry, leading up to his death and resurrection. So we're moving through a lot of text this morning. So if you would let me read for us as we come together before God's word. Starting with Mark 14, verse 53. And they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, many elders, and the scribes came together. And Jesus followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. And he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands.'" Yet even in this, their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?" But he remained silent and made no answer. Again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." And the high priest tore his garment and said, "What further witness do you need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him and to cover his face and to strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." And the guards received him with blows. And Peter, who was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, he looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again, he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly, you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and swear, "I do not know this man of whom he speaks." Immediately, the rooster crowed a second time. Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him before the rooster crowed twice, "You will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and died. Let's try together and pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege once again of coming together before your word. We thank you, Father, that you inspired Mark to record these things. For the Holy Spirit, you spoke to him and through him, and have produced this record and preserved it for us. And now we ask that you would help us to understand it, your word for all of us this morning. Speak to us. Transform us by your word. For your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 53 introduces us to Jesus' trial. So, what's here in verse 53 and following, this all takes place after a Passover meal and Jesus and the disciples going down to the Garden of Gethsemane, and the disciples slept while Jesus was agonizing in prayer, which is followed by Judas and their kiss, right? And then Jesus is being arrested, and all his followers have fled away.
And so when Jesus is arrested, he's first taken to John, who was Captain, was the high priest, which is trial number one. And then in the sequence of events, they have Jesus' crucifixion, as Mark reports these events, that takes place here, takes place early Friday morning, before dawn, and it's trial number two, takes place at the home of Caiaphas, who is, second chance, who is the high priest, and who is the son-in-law of Annas, who was the high priest. Right? So that is, and Caiaphas is our, my first favorite, the chief priest and the elders and the scribes, which is otherwise known as the what? The Sanhedrin, right? Which was the highest governing body in Israel, final authority on matters of religion and on what not to set Israel's relationship with them. So the Sanhedrin, the Pentecosti, we are compared to the U.S. Supreme Court, the U.S. Congress, and Johnson, they're all rolled into the U.S. One Kingdom by the Mafia, right? So, let's think about why and how all that is important, right? Trial number one, then was the former high priest. The one that removed him from being the high priest, but he still wielded considerable power. That liberated him so that Jesus, his son-in-law, Caiaphas, is now the high priest. So the family business here, right?
You know, we're also tempted to throw Peter under the bus with the other disciples before, but Peter also, he fled, and but he followed at great personal risk.
You see, we can understand, right? Peter loved Jesus, he hated Jesus, he loved him, and Peter wants to know where he is, and he loved Jesus, he loved Jesus, and he loved Jesus, he loved Jesus.
The chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. Right? It's not really about how they are afraid to put him to death to the cross. Finally, we've got what we need to know who he is. What are they looking for? Verse 56. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy the temple that was made with hands, and in 3 days I'll build another, not made with hands. And even in that, their testimony didn't agree. Let's be clear. And their right to convict him, we've got to find something in their own cause, and the right to convict him, to say, he wasn't trying to find the rules. Their own rules. According to the rules, a trial couldn't be held in secret. Where the, you know, a trial couldn't be held at night. A trial couldn't be held in any other venue than the Sanhedrin's regular meeting place in the temple. And at the trial, there had to be an advocate. There had to be a lawyer. There had to be somebody that represented the accused. Yeah. In capital cases, with the death of the accused hanging in the balance, capital cases were to begin with an accusation and move forward, giving the accused opportunities to argue for innocence, for acquittal, right? Innocent until proven guilty. Reasons, there had to be reasons given to try to prove
depending on not guilty ruling. The rule of the Sanhedrin gave benefit to the doubt of the accused. Point three. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Peter, who is there? 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 Peter, who is there?
Dominion which shall not pass away, and a kingdom one that shall not be destroyed.
In other words, Jesus Christ, his deity as the Son of God, with his humanity, the Son of Man, and he applies Daniel's vision, his prophecy, to himself. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Son of Man, the Son of God, our Messiah representative, who is given all dominion and glory. Jesus, who is the sovereign Lord over all of creation. Jesus, who, by virtue of his atoning ministry on the cross, as God incarnate, he is the judge. Jesus, who has an everlasting dominion that shall not be destroyed, in which people from every nation and every language, we will serve him. Jesus, who will come at the head of heaven's army to judge and dispense true justice into the Caiaphas and those that are judging Jesus, Jesus who will punish the wicked and reward the righteous. And Caiaphas gets it. The others get it. What Jesus is coming for himself.
Thank you.
for the year in the midst of grace for grace to be arrested for. And so we need to come to where Peter was. This is a hard place to be, a place of brokenness before God, for we realize our sin and our failure. And then understand the weight of our sin being the root. What is often unjust and unfair in a perversion of what life should be, but is speaking about, surrounded by evil on a rampage in a society that is torn apart at the seams, which is degrading morally and moving even farther away from God, where persecution becomes a real choice. Well, we are often in circumstances and situations where fear and panic would be perfectly understandable. We need to be where Jesus is. Even in our failure and sin, we need to be focused on God with our trust in God. That God is gracious and merciful and loving towards us. That God remains here with us. That He has given purpose and meaning to our lives. That He will bring glory to Himself through us. We need to be with Jesus. This Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you and praise you for Jesus' work on the cross. And this morning we come before you with a reality check. that is given to us in the example of Peter that you have inspired Mark to record for us, and in fact, as Mark writes to Peter, it is Peter's testimony that is unbroken before him. And we get it because we know it's there. We know God can acknowledge before you by saying, we are seen. We're grateful for what you offer to us through the completed work that you have done. And we thank you, Father, that it is the midst of our brokenness and the brokenness of the world in which we live as it deserves what we call justice. And as we walk, as we see the departure of the fears and the past, we will see you to know Jesus is your inevitable and true justice. And he will judge and put all these things to right. God, we know that your plans, your purposes will be accomplished. God, we know that in our brokenness, if we trust you, all of what you promised to us will be certain reality. You give to us as we trust you, you give to us in salvation. You redeem us, you restore us, you renew us, and give to us life with you forever. Father, I pray for myself, I pray for each one here, God, each of us, this week, that as we come to that place where Peter was, we will